Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and the way we live our lives please you, make you glad, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have told you before, I think, that I grew up in a family of immigrants. My grandparents came to this country as they escaped from a genocide in the early 20th century. And so their ties with life in the old country were frayed, even broken. Their families, their homes, they'd all been blown in different directions. So when my grandparents got to America, they were beginning again. What seemed important to them was to establish new roots here in the United States. Their Armenian identity remained a central piece of my family's history. My dad, bless his heart, can find some way that we are related to just about every other Armenian surnamed person in the whole country. But what really mattered, what rooted us, gave us confidence and a strong sense of who we are, was family. Now, if you saw the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, you've seen it. That's my family. Just like the characters in that movie, the preferred living situation for my people would be a family compound. A little bit of room for privacy, but lots of space where we would eat dinner and watch television together, several generations, every night. A few years ago, I found the perfect gift for my parents, a plaque that says on it, "Other things may change us, but we start and end with family." They hung that plaque proudly in their home. Really was one of the best gifts I ever gave them. That sentence speaks what they believe deep down, that no matter what happens to us, the thing we keep coming back to is family. These are the people you can count on. This is the identity that makes all the rest of life make sense. And I don't think it's just my family. People from many cultures and backgrounds feel like this. The writer Dorothy Allison, whose family has lived in South Carolina for several generations, wrote in her memoir, "Two or three things I know for sure. And one of them is just this. If we cannot name our own, we are cut off at the root. Our hold on our lives is as fragile as a seed in the wind." We all need some story of us to ground us. We draw strength and confidence from being surrounded by a group that feels like my people. It might be a nationality or a community, a family, or even a church. You've no doubt noticed this lovingly painted banner at the front of the sanctuary. On the left side is a replica of the huge red maple tree that used to stand in the middle of the church's courtyard. The one on the right resembles the younger silver maple tree that grows there now. Those of you who have been part of this church for a long time know that that old tree had become a symbol of this church's life. It stood in the courtyard for decades. Its giant canopy of leaves provided shade for the entire space between the sanctuary and fellowship hall. The tree was such an icon that its image became the church's logo. Its picture was on the church's stationery and its worship bulletins and its website. That tree was a symbol of the strength, the solidness, the bigness of this church. And when that tree came down in 2013, even its wood held those memories. What you see on the communion table this morning, a beautiful vase carved by Jim Laughlin, an elaborately scrolled cross cut by Andrew Reynolds, those are made from the wood of that tree. I imagine that that tree held in its roots, its trunk, its branches and leaves, the life of this congregation, your life together. It held good, solid years of growth while Dick and Bobby led you, when there were hundreds of children in Sunday school and the youth group, while you were making the big decisions that Helen Hayashi talked about last week, to invest a lot of money in a new sanctuary and organ, in a new Amy building, to take the bold and confident step of becoming a reconciling congregation. And that tree held in its fiber some really hard years. Years of contraction and limits. Years of conflict and not knowing exactly what this church had become. Relationships cracked by disagreement, seeing things differently. The truth is, those days are part of this church's story, too. Those sorrows, too, were held in the life of the tree. One morning in 2013, without any warning or sign of illness, one of the central branches of that majestic tree suddenly cracked and broke off. There was no choice but to take the entire tree down. Its inside showed what had not been visible before, that the tree had been dying for some time. The shade it had provided in the last months, maybe even years, had been heroic because the structure that supported it was weak. The veins that connected the deep root of that tree to its leaves were thin and frail. And so the tree was cut down all the way to its root. Sadly, the tree's absence left a big hole in the center of this church, literally and metaphorically. And I can't help but think that the death of your beloved pastor, Paul Kim, just months later, might be part of the same story. That Paul's death, your grief about Paul's death, was a container for losses that had come over several years. The tree, what the tree symbolized, this congregation's unbreakable strength and sturdiness. The story of this church's life holds both strength and weakness. This is how life works. It is at least how the spiritual life works. Richard Rohr says that when we're young, we learn by doing things right and being validated for our successes. But from the time you're about 30, he says, success has nothing more to teach you. It still feels good, but everything you learn, everything that really helps you grow, you learn by failure, humiliation, things falling apart. These are the only things, he says, that invite the soul into a deeper place. It's falling that takes us toward God. You did that. The tree fell, but its strong root was buried deep in the soil of this church. People like Bruce Hallinan and Sally Wenzel and so many others of you stepped up and lifted your hands and carried this congregation when it fell. You reached deep down for courage. Resources you didn't even know you had. trusting that there was life ahead, having faith in something you might even call the promise of resurrection. And in the spring of 2014, just before I came to be your pastor, you planted a new tree. The tree that grows and is gathering strength in the courtyard today. The image here, that the root of the old tree is linked physically to the still maturing roots of the new tree, is a metaphor, of course. But it happens in nature too. It is not unheard of for the roots of a mature tree that has been chopped down or split by lightning to reach through the soil and to support a brand new tree in its place. And that, I think, is what is happening here. In July, we took a survey among participants in the church, members and friends alike. You have a report of the results of that survey in your bulletin this morning, but here are just a couple of things you said. You said 90% of the 115 people who took that survey said, "Our leaders make tough decisions in light of the church's purpose rather than just trying to make people happy." 91% said, "Reaching new people is just as important as caring for our present members." 92% said, "I believe God has entrusted our church with a special purpose in the world around us." These are not new learnings or things that you have just heard recently from the pulpit. They're a sign of strong rootstock, solid, good health. When I came here, I spent the first 4 months mostly just talking to people in the congregation, listening. I drank a lot of coffee. At one point, I counted, and I think I had over 150 meetings in which you told me who you are and what you felt about this church. I heard stories of deep love and connection and appreciation. Strong connections, and I heard stories of great pain. There is something about church, about the expectations we carry about what a church should be, that make us terribly vulnerable to its flaws, easily hurt when it fails us. I think what you needed in a new pastor was someone who could gather up all these pieces and help you put them together again into a new story. To see and to name the new life that was already happening here, just like that new tree, new branches and leaves, young wood, still holding tight to a strong root that sinks deep down into this church's history. When I see clergy colleagues or old friends who ask me about how my work in Campbell is going, I always say, I came to a church that had been stripped down to its foundation. The people who were there before me had already done the hard work of trimming staff and budget, moving to one worship service, living into being a smaller congregation than it once was. Now, we can do anything. All the ingredients for growth and strength are already there. All we need is vision and courage and commitment. What a gift. What a gift. People of faith have always looked to the Bible to help make sense of what is happening in their lives. Who knew that the image of an old tree was right at the center of the story of God's people? It's in the words of Isaiah that Tamba read this morning. Like a branch that sprouts from a stump, Isaiah said, a new king, new strength will come from the root of King David. The Spirit of God will be in this new one, bringing wisdom and power, all you need for strength and confidence and joy. King David was the icon of the greatest, most powerful time in Israel's history. He was long dead when Isaiah wrote those words. The nation was in trouble. It was a time of deep pessimism, discouragement that there was ever going to be anything like greatness ever again. There is a deep root under you, Isaiah was reminding them. Deep enough to bring new growth out of what looks now like only a stump of the great tree you used to be. Christians have always imagined that the new branch Isaiah was talking about was Jesus. The Jesus who knew that his deep root was his connection to God, the very ground he walked on. The Jesus whose resurrection tells us that new life always, always comes out of death. The Jesus we follow, whose family we belong to, who is our deep root. All this month of October, we are using the image of this tree, an old tree, a new tree, connected deep in their roots, as we consider every one of us whether we will take a step closer to the church's center in 2017. As we talk and think about our financial pledges for next year, you and me both, I think the question is this church's root a root that connects you to your people, but even more importantly, to your God? And if it is, will you gather close with all of us who join the same connection to stand together as a sturdy trunk for this new tree that is still just growing? Come. Come closer. Do it not only for the church's growth, but for your own. Amen.